Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So I'm Pastor Lisa, if you don't know me. Pastor Tom and Jenny have been at Voice of the Apostles this week, and they are traveling back today. So God bless you, Pastor Tom and Jenny. We pray for safe travels for them. And I know that they've been refreshed by the Holy Spirit as they've been gone. So we're grateful for that. Honey, we open this. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, Brian taught about creativity. Brian taught last Wednesday about creativity and how we all are creative because we're made in God's image, and He's a creative God, and all the different ways of creativity through the arts, through craftsmanship, media, from being a plumber to being a banker. There's creativity. Honey, I really need your help. Thank you. That's what I need. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I want to share just this crossroads that I'm at because it's part of my message. The title of my message is called I Die Daily. And actually, I think I'll start with my intro, what I had planned. So Brian and I went to the cabin a few weeks ago. We have a cabin up in the mountains. And can you guys show the pretty view, the beautiful view picture? We live in a cabin. It's about at 3,000 feet elevation. And at the top of our development, there's two home sites with beautiful views, and they're about 3,500 feet elevation. And this is the beautiful view of the leaves changing in fall. And we were there as the leaves were falling and the street was covered with leaves. And actually, I have a little tendonitis in my elbow from so much blowing of all the leaves. But one morning, I just walked up the street, and I just laid down in the middle of the street, just in the leaves. There's only one house beyond us, and they weren't home. And I just laid there in the street, just in the leaves. And then Brian gave me a beautiful leaf he found, and then I started walking among all the leaves, trying to find a beautiful leaf, different ones. Can you guys put up the picture? Yes. So I picked up some that were red and some that were green and some that were orange, and they're all different. And I was thinking about our Spain team, especially how we all come together and we're all different. And it's so beautiful. And it's on a glass platter, and below that's my moss. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My lawn is not grass, it is moss. My moss. So beautiful. But what I heard the Spirit of the Lord said is they are all at a different state of dying. They are all at a different state of dying. They're beautiful, but in a few days, they're going to be brown. And brothers and sisters, that is what we are. We are all at a different state of dying to ourselves, dying to our sin nature, dying to our bad motives, our need for approval, control, manipulation, pride, selfishness. We are all at different states of dying to ourselves. See, these colors that you see, the beautiful red and gold and orange, they're in there all spring long. And they're in there all summer long. But it isn't until the fall when the green, the chlorophyll starts to fade away that you see the beautiful colors that were there the whole time. And in Colossians 1, I believe it's 27, it talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in each one of you resides the beauty of Christ in you. For some of us, it's still covered in green. For some of us, we're at the yellow or the gold or the red. We are all at different states of dying to what we want. What we want. Now, it's beautiful, but it's messy. And if you'll show the picture of the dead leaves. All right, this is the goal. This is what we want to look like, a bunch of people that all look the same because it's just Jesus. We're dead to ourselves, dead to wanting to look good or have a great reputation or to be known in the community or to be recognized, dead to insecurity. We just want to die daily. And so my message today is about, actually what I'm going to tell you is a lot of the things that I shared in my recent prayer ministry. in our prayer ministry, we call it prayer ministry. It's about 80% inner healing, 20% deliverance, 100% freedom. 100% freedom. I want to travel the world sharing this with women and pastors and leaders because it's a model for freedom. But you go in, you write down, like I tried to make it easy. I just made a list of my sins, people I needed to forgive, lies that I'm believing. And as I just sat with the Lord, there was a whole lot of pride that came up. There's a lot of insecurity, things that I'm trying to control, areas where I need approval and desire approval. The Lord just brought to surface some things in my life that need to die. I die daily. So that's the title of my message. We're all at a different state of death. Colossians 1:27, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So to start out, if you'll turn with me to Romans 6. Romans 6. Yesterday I was practicing my testimony in Spanish, and I'm driving down Interstate 74 and just preaching away in Spanish. I worked up a sweat. I was so active. And at one point, a state trooper passed me, and I was like, oh, gosh, what did he see? Because I was casting out the demons in the name of Jesus in Espanol. It's loco, loco, loco. Romans 6. So first, we're going to talk about dying to sin. What is sin? Simply put, sin are areas where we don't please God. Wrong actions, wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong motives. A lot of times it's focused on us. It's where we want to do what we want to do. We want to enjoy our pleasure. We want to seek the things that make us feel good. We don't want anybody to tell us, no, you can't do that. We don't want any restrictions. We want escapism. We want approval. It's areas where we're trying to just please ourselves. But in Romans 6, it shows us how that sin nature, it's already died with Jesus on the cross. It died with Jesus, and it's dead and buried, and we don't have to let it rule us. I've been fasting, complaining, y'all. That is the hardest thing. Because what I want to do is when somebody makes me mad, I want to text my husband and tell him what they did. And this week, my husband's had a lot of messages that say, I just can't say anymore. Because there have been people that have made me mad. There have been people that have irritated me. Because I'm just flesh. And it's our flesh. We just want to, like when somebody does a bad move on the interstate, we just want to say, idiot. We just want to curse them because our flesh says they deserve it. But God says, no, you need to die to what your flesh wants to do. Whether for you it might be eat the cupcake or call somebody an idiot or tell somebody what you really think when God says keep your mouth shut. That's our flesh. And I have been trying to die to some of those sins. The truth is that fleshly thing that wants to speak up and have its way has been put out of business. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4. It's talking about with Jesus. And I'm teaching out of the ESV version. And also, I forgot to welcome our live stream. If you are with us today, we're so grateful that you're here and that you stayed. And I just pray you'll be blessed right where you are by the power of the Holy Spirit. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism in death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 11 says, so you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So when we put our faith in Christ and we're baptized, we are baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is a spiritual death, a spiritual burial, and a spiritual resurrection. So you guys, you're dead. Your flesh nature, it's dead. Turn to your neighbor and say, I died. I'm dead. My flesh nature is dead. It is dead. Verse 6 says, our old self was crucified him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The truth is that we, because Jesus died and paid for that sin, he took away the slavery. He gave you a choice. He gave you a choice. In that moment, he gave you a choice. You no longer just have to be a slave to sin like you were in the past. In the past, when I was like 13 to 21, I was a slave to sin. And there were so many times I said, God, just if I'm not pregnant this time, I promise you I'll never do that again. 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, 17. Made the same promise every time. And went back and did the same thing. Because I was a slave. But when God set me free, he set me free. And I was no longer a slave to that. When I met my husband, we were no longer slaves to that. God gave me a choice, and he gave me the power to say, no, I am not a slave to that. That person is dead. She is gone. She is buried. No. So right there, you have that option. Because we go from captives and slaves to being set free and having a choice. Some people believe that God's grace gives you permission to just do that old thing. But Paul says that's absurd. He says if you died to sin and were set free from sin, basically saying, how can you keep doing that? It's absurd. Okay, let me ask you, how many of you remember Eckerd drugs? Eckerd drugs. I grew up on Eckerd drugs, you know, going to the lunch counter and eating. Later became Rite Aid. If I went to Loretta and said, hey, Loretta, I'm trying to get together my toiletries for Spain. I'm running out of dry shampoo. Can you go to Eckerd and get me some? What would y'all think? That place is out of business. Now, let's look back at this scripture. Thank you. Go to Walgreens. It's still open. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. That word in the Greek is katargeo. Katargeo. And it means unemployed, inactive, inoperative, and in my favorite, rendered powerless. That old nature of sin that you were born with when you accept Christ, it is rendered powerless. It's like somebody pulls the plug and it's no longer functional. It's just sitting there and it's dead. Just like those buildings, you can still see the Eckerd buildings. They're still there. You see them. But they're dead. You're dead. It's dead. You don't have to go in there. You have a choice. You are no longer a slave to your sin. You have a choice. By the power of Jesus, you can say no. Now, I confess, I do believe at least one time in my recent travels, I did say idiot. But I don't have to every time. Jesus forgives me. I'm not a slave to being an angry, irritable, frustrated, complaining, scared, promiscuous woman. Because God is setting us free. We are dying to sin. You may still be green. Some of you may be in that yellow or that gold, orange, the red. Some of you may be brown. We're all at different points in our sanctification. The Holman commentary says, the inclination to sin has not been eradicated. Like those Ecker buildings have not been bulldozed, right? But it has been rendered powerless when we walk in God's power. That inclination to sin. Sin might make demands of you, but you don't have to obey. If you were a slave and a master, you would have to obey. But when sin comes and says, do this, cheat on your taxes, cheat on your wife, have an affair, slander somebody, call somebody an idiot. I mean, that's cursing. Complaining, whatever it is. You can say no. You don't have to obey. You are not a slave to that. You have a choice. And we just say, help me, Jesus. And then we reach out to somebody else and say, I need help in this area. Some of you might need to come in for prayer ministry. But you're dead and you need to stay dead. Will you still sin? Yes. But are you obligated to do it? Are you a slave to do it? No. That is bankrupt. It's just like the Eckerd buildings that stand empty. That's what it is. Right next to it might be a beautiful CVS. Because we're changed. We're changed. So whatever the area of sin you might be struggling with, and some of us, there might be a long list. That is dead. So what we need to do when those thoughts and motivations come is tell that flesh you're dead. Stay dead. You're not my boss anymore. I have a choice. I don't have to be ruled by pleasure or escapism or anger or irritability or complaining, control, manipulation, fear, whatever, selfishness, pride. I don't have to be ruled by that. I can say no and choose to obey the Father. So here's a good one. There's a good lead-in, pride. Pride. Your pride, for me, pride often comes in terms of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency or independence. It's an I can do it all by myself. How many of you were at VBS this summer? I think that was in July. Volunteers at VBS. Many of you didn't know this because I didn't tell, but that the first few days of VBS were really hard for me. I'll just say the summer was hard. There were a lot of hard family things that I walked through. I even asked Siri one day as I'm driving, Siri, hey Siri, what is the definition of passive aggressive? Because I'm one who will just smile and just be the gentle as the lamb and yes, and I don't want to upset anybody, make anybody mad, and yes, and yes, and yes. But finally, there were some no's coming out of me. And there was some conflict with family, and I had the courage to just try to speak the truth in love, and it wiped me out emotionally. And I was just, there are a lot of people that, well, it's hard for me when people say, how are you? But that day, I was just feeling very hopeless. And I even messaged Pastor Tom, you're going to see me smiling today, but I'm really struggling. And I remember being there, and I was very hopeless. Hopeless. I was really struggling. And as a pastor, as a pastor, you don't want to just tell. For example, with my Spain team, I'll just tell y'all, for those going to Spain with me, I have somebody else that I'm telling how I'm really doing. Because there have been some weeks it's been really hard, and I don't want my team to worry about their leader, right? I mean, this is the woman taking us to Spain. She should have it all together. But I don't. Praise God, November's been a good month. September was a good month. There were times that this man every day would message me and just say, "Are you okay?" For 10 days in a row, he messaged me, "Are you okay?" Because what God showed me is that my pride was keeping me isolated. My pride was keeping my mouth shut. My pride wanted me to look like, I wanted to preserve this persona of the pastor who has it all together. I mean, I have degrees, I'm ordained, I should have it all together. I'm leading. But there are times, like Paul says, he struggles, he toils. There are days that I feel hopeless. And so I reached out to Pastor Tom. I'm like, look, okay, because I love my friends. I have faithful friends, but sometimes I know they're struggling too. And I don't want to burden them with the deep, dark place where I might be. So I said, Pastor Tom, okay, who are some intercessors that are not in my inner circle, but one step over that I can just be honest with? And Ron and Donna Britt and Mary Esther are people that I trust. And I can just say, hey, I'm really struggling today. And I don't need them. I'm not asking them to fix me. I just need someone to just be honest and say, just pray. Encourage me. Just pray. And so I'm learning to lay aside my pride and just let some people in to know that, hey, I am still a work in progress. I have a good days and bad days, thank God. Like, lately there's a lot more good days than bad days. And honestly, when you get me in this crisis, not that going to Spain is a crisis, but when you get me into pressure, like I'm generally solid as a rock when I get to that place of, you know, we're really doing it. But we need to die to our pride and our religiosity and this need to just look like we have it all together when we don't. Because I know some of you today came here hopeless. Some of you came here anxious. Some of you came here scared, hurting, brokenhearted, grieving. And we just try to look like we have it together, and the enemy tries to isolate us and make us feel so alone. And he tells us, you can't tell them, because if they knew that about you, they wouldn't respect you. They wouldn't like you. They wouldn't want to follow you. If they knew that, whatever it is in your life that the enemy says, if they knew that, that's the very thing you need to tell somebody, because he will isolate you in a corner and get you all alone and try to take you out. And the bravest thing you can say, the boldest thing you can say is, no, I'm telling. Because the Bible says that we are to carry one another's burdens. Okay, that's a command. It's a command. Carry one another's burdens. And so what that implies is we have to share them. We have to let other people in, because there are times when I'm weak, when Pat's strong, and I'll message her and she's got this roaring lion prayer when I'm just, you know, struggling. But I need that. There are going to be days when you're weak and I'm strong, and I'm going to come in and sha-da-da-da-da-da-da-da in the name of Jesus, I tell it to go. But there are going to be days that I'm not that, and I need you to do that for me. So we need to die to our pride and our religious ideas that we need to look like these perfect Christians and be honest with a few people that we can trust, that we've And we're learning together to try not to fix each other. Yeah, so I die daily. I'm dying to pride. We need to die to pride. says, welcome back. Yes. So another thing that we need to die to is manipulation and control. Oh my goodness. As a leader, I can relate to this. One way that manipulation and control can manifest itself is when you're afraid. Because when you're afraid, you try to control and get everything a certain way so you won't be afraid. This happened when our son moved to Wisconsin because he had never driven in the snow. He had never been in the snow. And my worst fear was that he was going to, like, careen off the road and be, you know, stuck in the woods alone in, you know, sub-zero weather with all the snow. I bought every thermal thing I could buy off Amazon. He had an emergency kit. I mean, we threw money at the problem just because I was afraid. I was trying to control what was going to happen 16 hours away. We try to control when we're afraid. And after a while, I mean, I would tell him so many things, and he was 25. Finally, he came up with this saying, I'll figure it out. So now I know if my son says, I'll figure it out, that means, Mommy, you're trying to control me, and I got it. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. So we need to die to our need to control others and our environment and our situations because of fear. But this is also related to pride because we often think we know how to do things better. We know the best way. And when God gives a body of people all different types of creative minds, there's all different types of creative ways to do things. And so I've been learning to die to my need for control because I might want things done a certain way. Today, like, I came up with this flow, and it didn't go that way at all. And I have to say, there's a song by Forrest Frank. He's my new favorite artist. Your way's better. Your way's better, God. Your way's better. We have to die to that manipulation and control to try to make things go our way when God might want to do it a different way. Might not be the way you did it. But we need to release some control and let others shine and let others bloom. It's dying to pride. It's dying to the complaining also. Because there have been some things this week as I've worked with our missionaries overseas in Spain and their cultural differences. Like, there are some times I've been like, oh my gosh, this is not what I expected. But we need to let go of control. In Philippians 2, it talks about, in Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Sometimes we want to control things just for our own safety and security. We might want to control things to maintain our reputation. We might want to control the actions of others so that we still look good. We might want to control everybody around us just so we can have peace or so we can be happy. And let me tell you something. Your happiness is not the responsibility of someone else. Your joy is not the responsibility of someone else. And if you are putting your joy and your happiness on somebody else through guilt trips, you are harming your relationship. My happiness and my joy is my own responsibility. By the grace of God, I don't need anybody to do things to make me happy. Because when we lay down that need for control of others, it releases freedom to them to live their own lives. Praise the Lord. How many of you would just like that freedom to just live your life? So we need to release others. One day I'm going to write a book about this. because it's something God and I really worked on together, to just lay down the expectations of others and let them live their lives and be responsible for what we have. My life and my happiness, my reputation, it's all mine. And it's my responsibility. So I'm a work in progress. I don't want to make the people around me miserable by my expectations that they can't meet. I want to give them freedom. Yeah. Approval. This is one where I really struggle, because I'll just be honest. There's some areas where I have a lot of confidence. Like speaking to a crowd, it's very comfortable. I mean, I'll probably be in the fetal position riding on the way home. Actually, I have to drive today. But a lot of times, you know, Brian drives me home after I share my heart completely and put myself out there, and I'm in the fetal position, and then I get in the bed and he brings the food to me, you know, because I want the approval of others. I have insecurities. I have areas where I've been trying to prove myself. My brother was in the hospital back in June. And I don't know if my motive was a need for approval, but I went. And I stayed in Charlotte a couple of nights to be an advocate for him, because I don't have any problems, any qualms asking for help. And so the first day I got there, he hadn't had any water or ice for a couple of hours. So I went to the nurse's station, got that water of ice and ice. That was a good thing. But the bad thing was, I boasted about it. And I told people that came, oh yeah, I came and Scott needed this and I got that and Scott needed that and I got that. Scott needed this and look at me, look at what I did. Look at me, I'm valuable, I'm needed. Please give me your approval. I was trying to prove my worth to my family, that I was truly one who served and not one who didn't. So it wasn't bad that I went, but it was bad that I boasted to get the approval of others. There are a lot of ways where, as I prepared for my prayer ministry, the Holy Spirit showed me I was just trying to prove myself. And it's idolatry. It's putting the approval of man as more important than the approval of God. And I've been seeking the approval of man in a lot of different arenas of my life. And God's been putting his finger on it and saying, that's just people pleasing. That's just idolatry. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 1:10, he says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I'm going to put, you know, Paul says, imitate me. So I'm going to put this in the present tense for us. If we are still trying to please man, we are not servants of Christ. If I am still trying to please man, I am not a servant of Christ. That's pretty clear to me. If I'm still trying to please man, I'm not serving Christ. Because if I'm pleasing man, I'm serving myself. I'm wanting the accolades and the approval of man. And we all desire that. We all desire affirmation. That was amazing what you did. You're the best at what you do. I can't believe you showed up and you did that. Wow. And that's often our motivation for doing things. We just want somebody to notice us and say, I appreciate what you did. And we just work and work and work. We just work and work and work. And it's idolatry. It's idolatry. So God, I just repent for wanting the approval of man. God, I want to prioritize your approval above all others. even if it means rejection by others. God, that's what I want. Help me. We need to die so that Christ in us, the hope of glory, will shine. John the Baptist says in John 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. We need to die to that need for security. That need for security means I want to do what's comfortable and safe. I want to do what's comfortable and safe. What many of y'all don't know is that on October 21st, the board of Global River Church approved me for a new position. I worked with Pastor Tom, submitted a proposal to him for what was in my heart, and he was for it. We worked on the terminology. He took it to the board, and they voted yes. And that was for me to be the global missions director for Global River Church. I'm the least likely missionary there is, but praise the Lord, he's chosen me, and I said, here am I, send me. I said, yes. The easiest terms to call that, and I worked with Pastor Tom, what am I called? I'm the missions pastor. I'm a missions pastor. And let me tell y'all what, because I want my security, I put in this clause, the last sentence of the proposal. I gave myself a way out, because I'll tell you what, my flesh does not want to be a missions pastor. My flesh wants to stay where it's air conditioned, and where everything is in its place, and I have all my stuff, and it's not out of control, where I know it's going to happen, where I'm comfortable, where I'm safe. Like, God willing, I'm going to Juarez in Mexico, right? I've been trying to get the blessing from my husband for 3 years to let me go on a mission trip with Global Awakening to Juarez, Mexico in May. And who knows, some of you might go with me. Now, there are safe parts of Juarez and unsafe parts, and you have to have wisdom. But we need to die to the need for security, for doing what's safe. Y'all, God has taken us in places where it's not going to feel safe. It's going to feel strange and different, and you're going to feel insecure and out of place and like a zebra with a bunch of lions. But we need to die to that need for security. I put a clause, the last part, that easy way out. This position would be reviewed on an annual basis so that if it is not working for either party, there is no further commitment or expectation. That was my flesh saying, I don't want this. Like my spirit's like, I want to go. And my flesh is like, no, you don't. And so I have to say yes to what Holy Spirit is telling me. With the blessing of my husband and with Pastor Tom, and just tell my flesh to die. Now, I might take all the things I need to be comfortable in another country in my suitcase. Don't shame me for it. It's who I am. Four fans for places where there's no air conditioning. I know how to do it. Woman in midlife, okay, give me some grace. But we're not created for comfort and security. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith. I step out in faith. I trust God by faith that I'm going to be okay. That even if it's hard, even when the power goes out, even when flights get canceled, even when people disappoint me, even when there's language barriers and the van driver shows up 2 hours late, I live by faith. I'm learning just how to let go and flow with the Holy Spirit. Flexible, adaptable, teachable. You got to be fat to go on mission trips. Flexible, adaptable, teachable. So just like the leaves that I showed you, Can you put up the pretty leaves again, the beautiful leaves? Just like the beautiful leaves, we're all at a different state of death. Look how beautiful it is. I put all the stems together, touching. We're all at a different place of dying to our sin nature, of dying to that need for approval, dying to control and manipulation, trying to just get everything just right around us, dying to our pride, dying to our security. And the goal is that we'll be the dead leaves. Can you put the dead leaves up, please? There we go. That's our land that you're looking at. We have 5 acres, and those are our trees. We want to be dead. We want to be dead to those things. Why? Because we want God to be able to use us in his kingdom to bear spiritual fruit. John 12:24. This is Jesus talking. This is red letter. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And that's what God is calling Global River Church to do, is to die to these areas of our desires and our wants, the very egocentric part of us, and for God to be able to use us, and for him to bring through us people into his kingdom, salvations, healings, deliverances, miracles. But we have to die to ourselves. We have to get to that dead brown leaf for him to truly shine through us. So with that, Brian, can you help me move the podium? And if John Dewberry and his helper will bring up the communion table. Thank you. I'll keep my water. Thank you. You can take that. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I read earlier in Romans 6 about how we're dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6:4-7. And just close your eyes and just listen. Just listen for a minute. Thank you, Lord. "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set freed from sin." Thank you, Lord. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Father, as we come to you today before the table that you have set for us, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We remember him offering his body on the cross for us. We remember him bearing all of our sin for us on the cross. We remember his sacrifice. So as we partake today of the bread, we remember Jesus' body sacrificed for us to pay for our sin so that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. And we remember the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us to pay for our sin. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. And I thank you, God, that as we partake of communion today, let us remember the death of Jesus and put to death those things that you are asking us to die to today. Whether it's an area of sin, whether it's pride, whether it's control, approval, security. God, each person, you have shown them today areas where they need to die. And so as we take communion today, we just ask, God, that you would give us the grace to say yes to what you're asking us to do and to say no to that thing that you want to die in us. God, I just repent before you. We just, as a congregation, we repent for our sin. And just take a moment to tell the Lord what it is you need to repent of. Father, we repent. And Jesus, we thank you that on the cross you took our sin, you took our shame, you took our weaknesses, our failures, and you paid the cost in full so that we might walk in newness of life. So we thank you for your body. We thank you for the blood. And today we remember what you did for us. And I just pray today that if there is anyone that does not know Jesus, that you would know today that your sin is not too great for Jesus to pay for. That the blood of Jesus is enough to pay for your sin. Yes, even yours. Yes, even that. Even that thing that you've never told anybody. The blood of Jesus is enough. So I'm willing, if you need to, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, please come to me and let me pray for you. But the altar is open. I want to ask you to come up the middle and then exit through the sides and form two lines. And if you're not able to come with everybody else, just come up behind, okay? So the table is open. God, we thank you for the bread and the blood. In Jesus' name. And if there's anyone here struggling today with, as I shared earlier, just some area where you are struggling and you have no one to tell, you feel like you are all alone, I want to invite you today to come and be brave and humble and just share your struggle. The people on these team, I know them. They're going to keep your confidence. They're not going to be shocked or dismayed, but they're just going to say, okay, and let me pray for you. So I want to invite you to come if you want to share any area where you know that you need to die, or if there's some other thing you would like prayer for, we're here to pray for you and minister to you. So Father, I just give you glory, Lord, for everything you've done today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence that was here and for what you did through us. Lord, you surprised us. And today we just give you honor and glory. And God, I bless your people. I bless your people to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in newness of life, to bear fruit, to speak the truth in love. God, I thank you for the opportunities that you have for them this week. God, would you encourage them, strengthen them, empower them, and I release them to go. To walk in their identity, to walk in their authority, to take ground this week, to expand your kingdom. I bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.